Hello, Cornerstone. Good to be here and sharing for you today. You know, a number of years ago, I went through a really difficult time in my life, and I found there was so much going on in my heart and my mind that I had to find a way to get it out. And I did that through prayer. I did that specifically through a prayer journal. And I would write down oftentimes my prayers, my thoughts, my feelings, and just kind of give them to God. Sometimes it was hard to get it all out in one day, and I would spend time not just writing at, you know, one 15-minute block or something, but I would begin writing and just leave the page open for the day. Often I'd draw just a line across the page when I was done writing for a little bit, and I would leave, and I would come back after a while and then continue and write some more, and then maybe draw another line. And then later I would come back again and write some more, just emptying out my heart, my mind before the Lord in prayer. Maybe you've had one of those kinds of difficult times as well. No doubt you have. I don't know whether you've turned to the Lord in prayer, but today, as we are in this series on prayer, we want to talk about what it means to bring ourselves before God, to turn to Him in prayer in these difficult times. And we have a great model and example in the life of King David in Psalm 3. Now, Psalm 3, it begins with a postscript, as many of the Psalms do. And Psalm 3 says that it's a Psalm of David, regarding the time that David fled from his son Absalom. David had had a terrible situation unfold with Bathsheba. Some of you know that story. And it resulted in just all kinds of chaos within his family. Then eventually his son Absalom rebelled against him and tried to take the throne. So this was a very difficult, chaotic time for David. And as he fled, he turned to the Lord in prayer. Now, as we look at this prayer, as we look at this psalm, you might want to consider your own difficult times, your own difficult circumstances. What is it that's on your heart? What is it that's on your mind? What is it that you have gone through? You know, you might have your own disappointment. You might have a situation where things haven't gone the way that you wanted them to. Maybe you were hoping for a child, and that child has never come. Maybe there was a situation that you were hoping for, and those hopes were dashed. Maybe there was a betrayal of some kind. You had a business partner or somebody who worked for you that took advantage of you, maybe stole from you, maybe even crippled your business and caused it to close. Maybe you had a relationship with a loved one where they betrayed you and they harmed you in some way. They cheated on you. Or maybe you've just experienced the assault of the external world around you in these difficult times that we're in. Maybe you've even just been going along through life and then suddenly just been hit with something massive that you could never have prepared for, never have anticipated before, whether it's the assault of some violence against you, maybe even racially based, or whether it's something difficult and challenging like an unexpected pandemic. All of us find ourselves in difficult times. And when we do, how do we pray? Well, David's prayer here in Psalm 3 gives us a bit of a model, gives us a framework to understand what we can do in these difficult times. And David's circumstance and his story are relevant for our understanding of his expression here, but it's not so tied into the text that we can't use these words for our own prayers. We can claim these words and use them to come before the Lord when we're finding ourselves in difficulty. So let's begin. Let's dive into it. In the first couple of verses, we see David just crying out to the Lord. O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying, God will never rescue him. Now remember, David has had to flee Jerusalem. He's had to leave his throne. His son is rebelling, and the people of Israel are in favor of Absalom. This is a difficult time for him. This is very challenging. And what does David do here? Well, it's the thing that we can do. David turns to the Lord. What does he do? He doesn't have flowery words. He doesn't have, you know, some really beautiful sounding verses and words that he writes out just in some real oratory manner. No, he comes before God and he dumps it. And I want you to know that when you're facing difficulty, you don't have to worry about getting the right words. You can just come and dump it before God. Look what he says. Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. David is coming before God, and he's just saying what the problem is. He's describing his circumstances. It's not that God is unaware of these things, but David is unloading. because God's big enough to take it. God's big enough to help him. And David is trusting in God in this moment. He's turning to God. Look at this last part. So many are saying God will never rescue him. His enemies at this point are speaking loudly. And when you find yourself in difficult circumstances, your circumstances, maybe even the people around you, will be trying to bring you down. And they'll be saying things that discourage you, that could even break your heart, might even begin to cause you to question God's goodness. But here David turns to God with all of that. He brings his doubts, his fears, he brings all of his difficulty and just describes it and gives it to God. And the first thing that we can do when we find ourselves in really overwhelming and difficult circumstances is simply to give it to God. Now, there's a fancy theological word for all of this. It's the word vent. Okay, it's not so fancy. That's because I want you to know you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to make yourself look good when you come before God. You can just come and vent. You can come and unload. Describe your situation of what's difficult, what's painful, what the circumstances of your life are that are just so overwhelming. When we come before God in these difficult times, we can just simply vent to him. Now, something happens at that moment in the prayer of Psalm 3, and we could easily miss it. And if we do, we're going to kind of wonder what's going on with David. There seems to be these abrupt shifts and swings, but there's a word in the Hebrew called Selah. You may have heard of this before. We translate it in different ways because we don't really know what Selah means, but it seems to mark that there's a new section. Sometimes Selah is thought of as a pause, a moment for reflection. Sometimes it's seen as a musical interlude. And I might even like to call this like a guitar solo moment. But whatever happens here with the word Selah, it's meant to give us a sense of pause. I like to think of it like my prayer journal, where I would draw a line across the page. Something changes. Time passes at this moment in the psalm. And if we just keep reading straight through, we're going to think that David is swinging all over the place. But I think it's more helpful for us to say he first comes and just dumps and vents before the Lord, and then he pauses. He leaves. He comes back to it a few moments later and continues. But the first thing we do is we vent. The next, in verses 3 and 4, it continues in the next section. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. See, David has been feeling surrounded by enemies, but now, as he's come and vent before the Lord, he's feeling that he is surrounded by God's protection and care as a shield. You are a shield around me. You are my glory. You are the one who holds my head high. Now, David's enemies have been mocking him and trying to bring him down to shame him and say, you're never going to be rescued. God's never going to help you. But what does God do for him in this moment? David instead finds that instead of being shamed and being brought low, that God takes him and lifts his chin and gives him dignity and honor. You know, I've done that with my children. I know Pastor Phil has talked about moments where he's taken his children and their face in his hands and he's spoken words to them. I've done that with my kids and with other people as well. Said, look at me. Look into my eyes. Listen to me as I speak to you. As David comes before the Lord and he vents and then pauses, David sees and experiences and feels God taking his head, lifting it, and speaking words of dignity and honor to him, protecting him, guarding him, reassuring him in the midst of this difficulty. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. Everyone else is trying to bring me low, but you are holding me up high, giving me strength, honor, dignity. I cried out to the Lord, David says, and he answered me from his holy mountain. See, in the first section of the psalm, the voices that David was hearing was the voices of his enemies. The voices of his difficult circumstance and situation. Now, because David has vented to God and he's come before God and he's waiting on God, he's listening to God. Now, David is listening to the voice of God instead. And the voice of God gives him honor, dignity, strength, shields him, protects him, guards him. And David is heard and known. So there's this beautiful image here as well as we turn to this. where he says, I cried out to the Lord and he answered me from his holy mountain. See, David has turned to the Lord in prayer. And you need to remember here what the holy mountain is. It's the holy mountain of Jerusalem, where God is worshiped and honored. In this moment, David is removed from Jerusalem. He is distant from the place of worship. And yet, he has been heard by God, and God responds to him. You might feel like you're at some distance from God because of the difficulty. You might feel as though he will never hear you, that he will never respond. But here David says, even though I seem to be far away from you, God, you heard me and you spoke and you answered. So I want you to have that reassurance as we look at this psalm, that you can come with your venting and God will hear you. God will respond. Now the word for this section, the second section of the psalm, is the word listen. So first we vent and we just unload it on God, but the next thing we do in these difficult circumstances, we sit back and we listen. We're reminded of the things God has done in the past. We're reminded of his goodness. We might even be reminded of words of Scripture that guard us, protect us, give us the sense of new confidence, and renew us within the difficulty that we're facing. So first we vent, then we listen, and then as the psalm moves on, we see a big turn here. In the next verses, we see that David lies down and sleeps. So again, there is a line, there is an interlude, there is a moment of Selah, and he comes back and he's slept now. He says, I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I'm not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. See, here in this moment, what David has done is, while he was hearing the voices of his enemies, now he has turned and he's listening to the voice of the Lord. That's given him a strength and a confidence. And now he is acting upon that confidence. He's acting upon what he has heard from God. And because of that, he is sensing a peace that he didn't have before. He's given his situation. He's vented his situation to God. God has spoken to him and he's listened to that voice. And now David has this sense of peace in what before was a very trying and difficult moment where he was lacking in peace entirely. And so David is able to act upon what he has heard from God, what he has been reminded of about God's character, God's strength, God's ability, and what God does for him. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. David's situation hasn't really changed, but it has inside of him. Within himself, David has a new, renewed confidence because he's been reminded of who God is. He's listening to the voice of God now instead of the voice of difficulty and trial and mockery that's surrounding him. David is not afraid of the people who are surrounding him with evil intent. And as you face your difficult circumstance, you can find a peace in the middle of that storm. You can find a reassurance inside of that difficulty. And even if your circumstances haven't changed, you can change. Your heart can be secure because God speaks to you words of reassurance and hope and strength, words of dignity and life. So the word for this third section is the word align. And I've chosen that word because I want us to think about how we are simply getting in step with God. At this stage, we have vented, we have listened, and now we act upon what we have heard from God by aligning himself with him, by aligning ourselves with him, by trusting in him and what he said to us. We act upon what we've heard. We act upon what we know to be true. We align ourselves with God. And then there's another section. And this one doesn't have an interlude, it doesn't have a break, but there is a distinct turn in the language. And this just flows right out of aligning ourselves with God. Now David says, arise, O Lord, rescue me. Remember, that was the word at the beginning that his enemies said that God would never do. Rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. Now David is calling upon the Lord. He has aligned himself with God. Now he is asking God to do what his enemies said will never be done, to rescue him. Slap all my enemies in the face, shatter the teeth of the wicked. I'll be honest. When I read this part of the psalm, I thought, is there a way I can skip those lines? They seem so violent. They seem so full of revenge. Seems so ungodly. But as I began to read and reflect and pray over these words and then reading commentaries, I began to realize what David's not talking about is sort of a literal violence of God against his enemies. This is a metaphorical image. He is saying, get rid of the teeth, get rid of the power of my enemies. And if you've got a mouthful of teeth that are broken, guess what you're not doing? You're not speaking. You're not mocking. What David is asking God to do here in this moment is to turn to the enemies who have such a loud voice and silence them, to remove their power. We say that about something, even in our language today, that when something doesn't have any teeth, that means it doesn't have any power. So what David is asking God to do is to silence his enemies by showing his power. And in this moment, we anticipate what God is going to do next, how God might silence our enemies, silence our difficult circumstances, and speak words that reassure us and show his reality to the people around us. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. And then the psalm ends with another pause, an interlude. Well, that sense of victory that comes from God is one that we can anticipate, and it's one that we can look forward to, but it's also one that we can claim because of Jesus. Ultimately, victory comes from him. And we, as followers of Christ, know that we have an incredible victory in what he's accomplished in his death and resurrection. Let me just take you to the verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is like saying, death's teeth have been knocked out. God has silenced death. It has no power. It has no strength. It is silent before him. And we have all of this. We have this victory because of Jesus Christ. We can turn to God in our difficult moments, and we can trust that he will silence the greatest power, the greatest violence that could happen against us, which is that of death. And Jesus silences, he removes the sting, the bite of difficulty with his power. You might even remember the story of Jesus as he was on the lake. What did he do to the storm? He spoke the words, silence. And the waves and the storm became calm. Jesus has that kind of power. He has that ability for you that even if the storm outside of you doesn't change, the storm inside of you can be calmed and settled, and you can act and live in a new way, a better way. But let's go back into Psalm 3 for just a moment. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. See, what David is doing in this moment now is he's going back into his situation. He's anticipating that God will do something, and he knows now that he's not alone. He has been reminded and refocused in who God is, what God will do, and now he knows that he's facing that difficult circumstance with God at his side. God will bring the victory. God will rescue him. God will bring life. Folks, as we enter a difficult season, we don't have to do it alone. We can have the power and presence of Jesus there in the midst of that difficulty. The power that is greater than even death, the worst that could happen to us, greater than even that. And the presence of one who loves us, who shields us, protects us, and guards us. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it means we don't have to do it alone. It means we don't have to be overwhelmed. It means it doesn't have to be the end of us. And so in this last section, we simply anticipate what God is going to do. We're already believing and trusting that he's going to do it. We anticipate God's action. So let me remind you of those four things, those four sections of the psalm, but the four ways in which we pray. And it may take us time. It may take us through the course of a day or weeks where we draw a little bit of a line. And there may be a bit of a pause we do between each one of this, but it's an ongoing spirit and focus of prayer that we might have. First, we come before the Lord and we vent. We give God our situation. Next, we simply listen for his voice. We do that through the voices of other people who are godly. We do that through scripture. We do it by being reminded by the Spirit of things that God has already done in our lives. But we listen for God to speak to us, to lift us up, to lift up our head, to show us glory and dignity. Then we align ourselves with that truth and who he is, the kind of person that we see in Jesus. We align ourselves with him in that way. And then we anticipate what he will do in that situation to silence our enemies and to bring peace for us within those difficult circumstances. When we face these difficult times, as I said, we don't have to do it alone. We don't have to do it in our own power, in our own strength. God will bring the victory as we trust in Jesus. Friends, as we pray together, we find the glory and dignity of God upholding us, giving us strength in life. And I pray that you would seek that, align yourselves with that, and anticipate a greater hope that is certain because of Jesus. Let's close in a word of prayer. God, we thank you that we can bring to you the circumstances of our life, the difficulties that we face. You know them, you are aware of them, but it's an opportunity for us to unload them to you and to give them to you. Thank you that as we do so, you are willing to speak. Help us to hear clearly your words of life spoken to us and to align ourselves with who you are and what you're doing, the kinds of things you've done in the past, trusting in you so much that we have a peace that we can sleep and rest secure, knowing that you're good. And then to act upon that so fully and profoundly that we anticipate with great hope what you will do next, knowing that we don't have to face it alone. God, teach us to pray. Teach us to live in a way that involves you in conversation through every step, every moment, in patience, waiting on your provision, trusting in your protection, and finding your peaceful presence with us. We thank you that you give us the words of Scripture to guide us in how to pray. Thank you that you want to hear from us. Thank you that you speak. Thank you that you give us life. In the name of Jesus, who gives us victory, even victory over death, we pray.